Good morning. Good cold morning. Our scripture today will come from Nehemiah chapter 1, and we'll be beginning with verse 3. Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great, awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, and even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizons, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. And I'll continue to the end of the chapter. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. I don't know how many of you may remember, but we began going through the book of Nehemiah in August. Our first Sunday in Nehemiah was the Sunday after our team from New York returned. What you may not remember is that in the sharing of God's amazing blessing about this trip, we kind of skimmed over chapter 1 of Nehemiah. So I'd like to come back and camp out in that chapter for one moment. I mean, for maybe more than a moment, for a few moments. As we continue our New Year's sermon series, God is doing a new thing, how to connect or reconnect with God. On January 11th, we looked at Jonah and talked about returning to God. The next week, we looked at in Revelation at the letter to the church of Ephesus, and we talked about what it meant to return to your first love. Today, as we look at Nehemiah, I want us to consider what it means to return to prayer. Kind of the big idea for today involves a sense of dependent on God. If we want to see and be an intentional part of the new thing God is doing in our lives, our church, our community, our world, and in the kingdom, it begins with sincere prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. God is doing a new thing. God is doing what he's doing regardless of whether we pay attention to it or not. But if we want to really be a part of it, we need to be intentional. And that intentionality needs to involve sincere prayer. And you know, I don't believe you really need to go looking for things to pray for. I believe, like Nehemiah, if we simply open our eyes to the people and the situations around us, we will be aware of challenges and opportunities galore. And as we allow God to open our eyes to what is happening around us, we then spend time praying about how he desires us to engage in what he is doing. So instead of complaining about what's happening in your life, in your family, in your church, in your community, or in your world, be willing to ask God, how might I be a part of the solution? Instead of remaining comfortable and coasting through life, ask God what God-sized task He's preparing for you. In other words, pray. Let's consider how Nehemiah prayed in the scripture we looked at today. One of the first things I would say is prayer changes things. It really does. But I think sometimes we struggle in today's world with what prayer really is and how prayer really works. Because prayer, I believe, real prayer where you're taking it seriously and you're doing what God desires, I believe more times than not, prayer means waiting. How many of you like to wait? I'm the only one. I don't like it either. So none of us like waiting. But with God's timing, it is very important that we be willing to wait if that's what God calls us to. Nehemiah was broken and burdened for the condition of the walls of Jerusalem and the people of Jerusalem. He knew this was a new thing, but he waited and prayed for 4 months. Scripture says and if you look at the beginning, in verse 1 of Nehemiah, it says, in the month of Kislev. He began praying in the month of Kislev and did not speak to the king until the month, if you look at the first verse in chapter 2, of Nisan. So he began praying sometime around November or December and continued to pray around March or April before he really even did anything or took action. He spent that time praying. He remained where he was, praying diligently for God's timing and God's direction. Too often when we pray, we expect immediate results. Don't we? We live in a world where we expect instant gratification. And so we began treating our relationship with God. We began treating our prayer life that way. And you know what? Our prayer time with God isn't supposed to be giving Him a list of do's and don'ts for Him to complete for us. But when we're looking for instant gratification or instant answers, it's almost like that's what we're expecting. I believe when we pray and we're attentive to God, there's something that's happening in the midst of that period, in the midst of those 4 months that Nehemiah was praying. I believe things happen. I believe things change with us. I believe God is at work. And we need to be willing to pay attention to God's timing. That could be a whole sermon on that, but we're going to keep going. How did Nehemiah pray? Let's look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, then I said, this is the beginning, Lord, the God of heaven, the great awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. In verse 5, we can see he began his prayer acknowledging the character of God, His greatness, His awesomeness. How do you begin your prayer? I don't need to know. I wonder if you think for a minute when you pray, how do you begin the prayer? Because as we look at this, and I'm not going to get into it, but think about the Lord's Prayer, the example Jesus gave us, how that prayer starts. I believe that when we begin our prayer in a manner of recognizing God's character, recognizing God's greatness, recognizing God's open awesomeness, it prepares our heart to pray differently. When we acknowledge, when we really take time to focus, not on what we need or what's going on, but just acknowledge that we're in the presence of God Almighty. When we acknowledge that, it enables us to pray differently. It allows us to pray more appropriately, more confidently, and with assurance to our Lord God Almighty. It makes a difference how you start. Then if we continue, verse 6. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We know that in order to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we must ask forgiveness for our sins. We ask forgiveness for those sins because those sins separate us from God. And so we know that's one of the steps that has to happen in order for us to have salvation. And I think we're all pretty aware of that. But for some reason, after a time, it is not unusual for Christians to forget that confession is an ongoing discipline. You know, I've heard some Baptists give people of the Catholic faith a hard time about their structured confessional instead of connecting personally with the God who is able to forgive. Yet, when was the last time we really took time to confess specifically for the sins in our life? These sins that we know and that we claim and we've acknowledged that no matter how big or small, they separate us from God. They separate us from God's love, from God's will, and God's plan for our life. It doesn't mean that's not there, but it means that if we allow sin there, that sin keeps us from being able to connect in the way God desires. When was the last time you really confessed your sins? If you haven't, have you not confessed because you don't really think you've sinned? Or maybe it's because you hadn't had time. Or maybe it's because you believe God understands and it's all good. I hope we hear how weak these excuses really sound. Meaningful prayer involves acknowledgement of God's character, confession of our sins, and repentance. If we really want to be a part of the thing God is doing, we need to have a relationship with God that allows us to continue to grow and be the people that God calls us to be. Because guess what? We are never going to be perfect on this side of heaven. So there's always something that God desires to do to speak into our lives to help us individually to grow more in the direction He desires us to be. So if we want to be a part of the big things God's doing, we've also got to allow God to be a part of our lives every day, which means the challenges and the struggles and the ways that we fall short. I mentioned it with the children. One of the things Nehemiah modeled for us, and I wonder again if we pay as much attention to it as we should, is the idea of praying for others. As Nehemiah continues to pray, he prays not only for himself, but for the Israelites. He prayed for the sins and for the blessings of the Israelite people. As you connect with God through prayer, He will bring to your mind, your heart, people for whom you're to pray. And there's different ways of this happening. We have a prayer list that goes out every week, and we do that because we think it's important. And some literally, and I pray about this because I don't want it to happen. Some people have put out prayer lists. It's just a safe way to gossip. So we think. I don't ever want what we put out as a prayer list to be that. The purpose and reason for a prayer list is for those who truly desire to take people who are struggling and who have asked for prayer before God and to pray in such a way that we know it makes a difference. not only for the ones we're praying for, but for us as we seek to be willing to be used in whatever way God may want to. That's one way. Sometimes we just have a list of people we pray for. But I believe as we connect with God, there are times God just brings people to your mind to pray for. It happened to me yesterday. As I was doing some cleaning, I found a top, and on that top was a name. And that name was Sebastian. Sebastian is the name of one of the guys in the jail ministry that we go to every week. I don't need to tell you about Sebastian's struggles, but he has them, and there are a lot. And he was one that 2 weeks ago, as we were in the midst of the study, he asked me a question. I gave him an answer. He stood up and walked out. Haven't spoken with him since. But I've been praying for him because I care for him. I really and truly do, and I know he's struggling in a very hard way. And so God led me in that prayer. I want to go back and read verses 8 and 9, and I believe, I get excited about this, so I got to be careful. I can get really excited about this part because I believe this is where you can see power come into prayer. Anybody desire sometimes for your prayer to just be more powerful? That you wish that prayer you seemed like made more difference, or you felt like it was connecting, you just wanted it to be more? I think this is an answer that's going to help that happen for you. In verses 8 and 9, Nehemiah says, "Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even your exiled people are at the farthest horizons. I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen, a dwelling for my name.'" God made so many promises. Now, here Nehemiah is saying, "God, remember for a minute." Does Nehemiah really need to tell God to remember the promise he made? Absolutely not, and we all know that. But the point I want you to understand here is that Nehemiah knew what that promise was. And Nehemiah was claiming that promise. We are to know the promises God makes to us. I haven't gone and looked at all of them and like fact-checked it and all that stuff, but I ran across something that said there were over 8,000 promises in the Bible. And I don't know what context defines a promise. I didn't go and look all of that, but I know there are a lot of promises. And later, when we talk about going back to learning how to connect or reconnect with God, one of the foundational things is going to be reconnecting or rediscovering the Bible. But and just in the bit of it here, the reason that the Bible and prayer connect so much, yes, we can pray and God hears us, but when we understand the Bible and we know the promises God has made and we know this to be true and we begin praying those promises, I tell you, there is power. Because it's not just we're having a conversation, say, "God, I'm struggling, I'm having a hard time." No, God, you said this, and we can claim it. It doesn't mean that we understand exactly how God's going to work in it. It doesn't mean that we know what the outcome is going to be. It doesn't mean we're not going to have struggles. But it means that we know without a shadow of a doubt God said it and God honors it and it is true. And when we pray that way, it gives power. Now, I'm not going to read all the verses, but here are some of the things in the Bible that I know for sure there are promises about. And if you want to have more conversation with him, I would love to do that. I expect you can find them as well. There are promises in the Bible about anger, about anxiety, about comfort, about contentment, about courage, about death. Anybody need to know what God's promises are about those? How about discipline or discouragement or failure or faith or family? Would you like to know God's promises about fear or about finding God or about forgiveness or about the future or about giving? Have you ever just desired to know what God might say to you about guilt, about honesty, about loving others, about marriage, about money? Have you ever been struggling and you just wanted to know what God's promises to you might be about sickness or about starting over? Or how about just wanting to know how God connects to you in the midst of your daily walk, your work, your worship? All of that is in the Scripture. God has made promises to you through Scripture. That's why this Bible is so important. It's powerful. Once you've been able to claim God's promises, these promises, then, and this is where the power kicks in, most often lead to action. Look at the last line of Nehemiah's prayer in chapter 1. It says, "Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." He doesn't just pray for the wall to be fixed. Nehemiah prayed for the opportunity to fix it. Prayer is preparation for action. Repeat after me. Prayer is preparation for action. You may remember from our study of Nehemiah almost 6 months ago, Nehemiah was preparing to leave a comfortable life. He was cupbearer to the king for a dangerous 900-mile journey. And he prayed, and he prayed. Are you willing to make a commitment today? What is stirring in your heart? Maybe, like Nehemiah's, there's something unsettled, something broken, something in need of repair. Or maybe there's a passion. Maybe there's something just about the essence of who you are that you've been neglecting. God speaks to our heart every day. What is He saying to you this morning? It is very possible that the thing stirring in your heart is an indication of the new thing God is doing, the calling He is placing on your life. So, are you willing to make a commitment? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to spend time? To spend time in intense, intercessory prayer, confessing sins, and seeking God's favor. By intense, I mean committed. I mean not just praying once, not just praying for 10 seconds, but really having a conversation. If when you hang out with your best friend or one of the people that's closest to you, what are your conversations like? Do your most memorable conversations are ones that you say hi and just keep walking and keep... No. You can be in the middle of something and you stop, and as you're talking, it's like just you've been there for 2 hours and it's like you just met up with each other. We can grow. I'm not saying the first time you pray it becomes like that to God, but as we grow in relationship with God, we begin to have those types of connections, that type of relationship with God, that we commune and connect with God in a way that feels natural throughout the day. Intercessory prayer, it really does make a difference when we pray for other people. And not just when they're on the prayer list, although prayer list I think is very relevant and very important. But praying for people as you see them struggle. praying for people that have blessed you, praying for people as God leads you to do that, to see people as God sees them. And in praying that prayer, you're saying, God, allow me to be a part of that life however you desire. Confessing sins in our prayers. We need to confess regularly. Because if we don't make a point of it, we begin to think it's not that big a deal. And that's what Satan wants. I do the things I'm supposed to. I hadn't missed but a couple Sundays from church all year. That was because of snow outside. I've read my Bible. I can quote at least 5 or 6 scriptures. I've served and done this stuff at church. I'm good. Is there sin in your life? Unless you're perfect, sin continues to be a part of our lives. And Satan wants us to think that, you know, as long as we're doing and following the stuff we think God wants us to do, that sin stuff, we don't really need to give attention to it. We do. Because if we don't, it's going to grow and it's going to get bigger. We need to take that to God and acknowledge it and allow Him to get rid of it. And we can't just not acknowledge and say, oh, God understands. He's got it. We're good. No. It's important that we have that time of confession. And then seeking God's favor. God did call Nehemiah to be a part of building the wall. The praise team can come up. But as God called Nehemiah to build the wall, he took a step and he took that journey and he began going towards the broken wall. But Nehemiah, I don't know what he was thinking when he went. I don't know if he was just thinking about getting there. I don't know if there was something in plan in his head of how he thought things were going to go. But I can tell you, things didn't go the way Nehemiah thought they were going to go. They didn't go the way he wanted them to go. Just if you don't remember it, go back and read the rest of Nehemiah. It was hard. It was a struggle. It was disappointment. But God is a part of that. And so as we walk through life, it doesn't promise that life is going to be great, but I promise you it's so much better than it is without acknowledging God as a part of the life that you live, because He's already there and He is doing something. God, and people, I'm not just saying that 2026 has the potential to be a big year and God's going to do some type of new thing. We just don't know what it is. He is. I'm 100,000% sure of that. And you know, 2026 may be completely different than last year, but it's the same in the fact that God is always doing something. There's always something happens. It's just a matter of whether or not we choose to be a part of it. And He's going to do it. And God's will is going to be done, but He is inviting us to be a part of it. And as He invites us to be a part of it, that's an opportunity for us to be co-creators with Him. And it changes us. It enables us to become different types of people. If we get to be used by God to bless other people as well, it changes our relationship with God. It changes our relationship with our family. It changes our relationship with our community. It is the way God intends us to live. And one of the ways it starts is with prayer. And if you're struggling to know, and I know that a lot of people do because they come to me and they say, Greg, I just don't feel comfortable praying, or I don't know how to pray, or I don't know the right way to pray. Don't stop there. I think there's probably some people around there. There's things that you can, from today, I think that might help you. But if you're really struggling with that, seek me out. Because there's some very basic, simple things that we can share together that I think will not only help put you on a path to being able to pray the way God calls us to, but I think it's something you can get excited about. It's something I get excited about for you. It makes a difference. Let's stand together and sing.